Warm welcome to the St. Paul community as we gather together today in this time of reflecting on God's word and work in our lives. I pray that you all have been staying warm as the weather has been getting colder here, and that you continue to have good health as the weather jumps back and forth from being cold and warm. I invite us now to slow down for a few moments as we listen and enter into a prayerful space with me today. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the many ways that you are with us in our lives, for the people you put around us to lift us up, and those who you send to be with us in silence together. You always know what we need before we ask, and you provide us with all we need to live. Be with us through the noise and the silence that we experience in our lives. We ask all of this in your holy name. Amen. In our reading today, it comes from Paul's second letter to the Church of Thessalonica, beginning in the third chapter with the sixth verse. Now we command you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from every brother or sister living irresponsibly, and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not irresponsible when we were with you. We did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we do not have the right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work shall not eat. For we hear that some of you are living irresponsibly, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now, such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not weary in doing what is right. So as I think about my family, we've always been pretty close, both in relationship and in distance to each other from where we lived. For the longest time, my brother, my sister, my parents, and I all lived in central Pennsylvania, never being more than just a couple hours' drive from one another. Until my brother, his wife, and their son took a year to all squeeze into a camper and travel across the country. And in this year, they visited numerous national and state parks. They learned new traditions with new people. They pushed their route to also include briefly going to Mexico and Canada. And they did something that a lot of people only ever dream of doing. And as they traveled throughout the year, they recorded their experiences and shared their stories. But there's one experience in particular that my sister-in-law still talks about to this day. When they were out west somewhere, they had planned to hike to the top of a mountain to watch the sunrise early one morning. And as some of you may know, hiking with kids is already an adventure enough. So to plan and to think about doing a hike with a kid in the early morning, dark hours, meant that they left extra early, giving themselves plenty of time to make it to the peak with time to spare. And as they hiked up the mountain, making their way to the top, they got there with some time before the sun began rising. So they all sat down, they pulled out the breakfast that they had packed to share together, and they just talked quietly amongst themselves. But not too long after this, they started hearing some voices and some laughing coming up the trail behind them, and suddenly a group of about a dozen young men came bursting through the trees, laughing and carrying on as a group hiking would do. And my sister-in-law shares that at this moment, she expected the quiet morning that they had been experiencing together to be over. But upon noticing my brother's family, the boys all made their way to sit together as a group not too far away, and they all sat down in silence. Some of them also pulled out some snacks. Some of them began journaling. Others just sat there in the quiet early morning hours. And then, as the sun slowly began rising, the group of boys quietly began singing hymns with one another. And my brother and his wife share that in the moment, their quiet mourning was indeed over, but the quiet had instead been filled with praise and with a joyful noise. And as I read the scripture for today, I was pulled back into that realization that we live such loud lives. And it caused me to question in what ways we can turn to embrace and to encourage those quieter moments in our lives and in our faith. And in his letter to Paul, the second letter to the church, Paul is warning them to stay away from those who live irresponsibly, from those who are living in idleness, those who live the noisy, distracting lives, those who are not following the example that Christ set before them. And Paul continues to write that not only is the church of Thessalonica not following Christ's example, but they're also not following the example of those who came in faith before them. In this, it's the second letter to the church, and Paul reminds them that he had first set the example of how to live faithfully when he was there establishing the church with them. And then again, in his first letter, he writes to encourage the church to aspire to live quietly, to mind to their own affairs, to work with their hands. He writes that in living in this way, we will behave properly towards the outside and be dependent on nobody. So at this point, we see that Paul has shown the church how to live this faithful life. He's given one gentle reminder into that faithful life. And now we have a third call back into what that looks like. Paul warns the church against busy bodies, against those who are not working in faith, those who rely too heavily on the work of others within the church. He writes, "We hear that some of you are living irresponsibly, not doing any work. Now, as such persons, we command in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living." Now, hearing this command from Paul could lead us into more harmful ways of thinking about our work. We could develop a mindset of, if I don't do this at church, I'm not doing enough. Or if my faith life doesn't look like those around me, God isn't using me as much as God's using others. Or if I don't get others to my faith, or if I can't show them my faith, I don't have enough of it. Or maybe even I need to work harder for God to choose me. But that's not what Paul is calling us to in this moment. He's instead telling us that because of our faith, we do live and work in faithful ways in honor to God. And to help us understand this, I'm going to have us take a moment here to think about something that you grow. I've grown herbs in my arrow garden in the kitchen. Many of you grow different types of crops. Some of you may have vegetables or fruits in a small home garden. Think about something that you grow. And when you think about that, I want you to think about how that plant or that crop, how it starts. And it starts as just one little seed. And you take that seed and you plant it. And then you water it and you tend to it and you care for that seed until it turns into the plant. And with all of that things, the plant produces the crop with the right environment, with the correct care, with the tending of love from those around it. The plant can't help but producing what it is. So in the same way that an apple tree will produce apples, and corn stalks will grow to produce corn, and sunflower seeds will grow into sunflowers, in our faith, as we are tended and nurtured and loved by those around us with their own faith, we can't help but living and growing into the faith community. And Paul is calling us to live into that. Paul is having a call for us to be the people to tend to those around us who need our help, to clothe the naked, to visit the sick and imprisoned, feed the hungry, supporting those who need the extra help and guidance and nurturing in their faith. It's a call to be the people who love all of those around us, to welcome the stranger, to befriend the outcast, forgiving our enemies. It's a call into the love that Christ first loves us with, and through that love, bringing the good news and faith of our God into the world. This call is specifically for those inside of the church. Paul emphasizes this through his language of brothers and sisters at the start and at the end of his reading. And what Paul is leading us towards is highlighting that it's not an issue about those outside of the church attacking it, and it's not about those who are outside the church being wrong. It's about the siblings in Christ inside of the church who are wrong. And Paul is calling us to notice how some of us may be holding the church back, and how we might be limiting its outreach in the work that we're not doing. Now, I'm not saying that you have to go and be the biggest or most extravagant outreach ministry or person. We don't need to be that person who's standing in the intersection holding a Bible verse on a sign and quoting scripture through a megaphone. We don't even need to be the person who stands on a stage in a megachurch talking to thousands of people at once. We're certainly not going to be the evangelist who's on TV or on the radio that people choose to listen to daily. Those tend to be the loudest and most distracting voices in our faith. Paul is instead calling us, calling you and me, into our ordinary lives that we live through Christ. And through our lives, God calls us into those more subtle, no big recognition, quiet moments of faith that we can live out every day. Think about the couple of dollars, or the snack, or maybe the small care package that you give to the homeless person in an intersection. You have no idea who they are. They don't know who you are. But in that moment, there is compassion and love shared between two strangers. And think about the prayers that we pray or the songs that we sing out despite not knowing those who are also listening. Just as the young men did around that quiet family that they bumped into early one morning, Paul is calling us to step into the quiet lives and the quietness of those around us. And with God, through our faith, we then welcome others into the quiet places in our lives. And so as we go about this next week, I want you to take notice of all the noise in your life, of the ways that you're distracted, the voices that you choose to listen to, the things that really keep us from living the Christly lives that we're all called into. And through recognizing those things, I invite you to take a moment of that noise and that anxiety and to move more into a place of quiet praise or of quiet prayer, of blessing. And as we all attempt to find that quiet joy and praise in our lives, despite how drowned out it might be from all of the other noise, to see the ways that God is more easily found in those quiet moments of faith, the way that God uses our quiet moments to live our faith out boldly. Amen. Join me now in another prayer. We pray for the church, all of creation, and the whole people of God. Almighty God, we thank you for the many ways that you use this community to be your work in the world. We ask that you continue to bless and guide our ministries so that we may best represent your love, forgiveness, and grace for our neighbors and all of those around us. As we enter into this season of Thanksgiving, we rejoice with you for all that you have provided for us, for the land that sustains us, the companions you gift us, and the life that you have provided. We walk alongside you in thanksgiving for how we are able to use these gifts of creation in ways that honor your part in that creation. Be with those who are alone or struggling this holiday season, those who grieve the loss of loved ones over the past year, those who have no one to gather with, those who will be away from family and friends. Be with all who travel to watch over them and keep them safe. We ask all of this in your holy name. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and grant you peace. Amen. Go in peace. Live your faith quietly but boldly.